Welcome to Business Innovators Radio, featuring industry influencers and trendsetters sharing proven strategies to help you build a better life right now.
Welcome to Positive News Now. I'm your host, Gail Nowak. Today, our guest is Nicole Lewis-Kieber, a business therapist and mindset coach who works with entrepreneurs to create and nurture healthy relationships with their businesses. She's a licensed clinical social worker with a master's degree in social work and a rich experience of working as a therapist. Certified in Brené Brown's The Daring Way and Dare to Lead methodologies, she's also been featured on numerous media outlets, including Fast Company and NPR, for her work in breaking the stigma of mental health and business ownership. She writes and speaks about the impact of small-t trauma on businesses, but her biggest, more important work is in combining therapeutic processes with business coaching to help entrepreneurs build emotionally sustainable, financially stable businesses. The founder of Love Your Business School, Nicole, is currently working on writing the book, How to Love Your Business. Welcome, Nicole.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. So why don't we jump right in? I love this combination of counseling and therapy and business coaching. So why don't you tell us about your unique approach to business coaching, and in particular for entrepreneurs, and why it's important for entrepreneurs?
Yeah, thanks. So it's this weird little thing that I do, and it's my clients actually coined the phrase business therapist because when we were working on identifying how their experiences as a child and how it impacts their business, you know, they said, I don't really feel like we're doing coaching and I don't feel like we're doing therapy. I feel like we're doing something kind of in the middle, you know, and so they just kept calling me a business therapist, and eventually I just, you know, went with it, and it seems to work. So, but, you know, I do have a therapy background. I was a therapist for 18 years, and when I started my own business as a mindset coach, particularly around money, what I began to see with the clients who were attracted to working with me is that they were not having a mindset challenge. They were actually having a trauma patterned reaction that was affecting their money and their business. And so I began to explore that further, which has led me to the work that I do now to help small business owners and entrepreneurs identify any childhood experiences or even young adult experiences that created a pattern that is not serving them, that is recreated in how they do business, how they work with their clients, how they relate to their money, and even how they see what is possible for them in their business.
I'm so fascinated with this topic because I remember the first time you mentioned this to me, I was like, ding, 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 this is it, this is it. I had a very visceral response to this idea of the connection between wounds and trauma in childhood and how that impacts business, relationships, money, you know, all of that in adulthood. And I think that it's really, I really feel like you're on the cusp of something that is truly, truly needed, but also like a big shift, I think, for humanity. And I know that you have this other phrase that you've coined about inner kiddo, and I would love for you to elaborate on that, specifically in the framework of the inner kiddo in your business.
Right. So this is kind of how, you know, things work. First of all, we kind of have to identify, and you know, kind of back up and say, you know, what is trauma and what is, isn't, right?
Yep.
So as a society, we look at trauma as what we call big T traumas, which are like, you know, violence or catastrophic illness or, you know, PTSD, or, you know, as we tend to only look at trauma in those big terms, those big events. And those are, you know, traumatic events, but there are also other types of trauma. And one of the things that I speak to is small T trauma, which is cumulative experiences that we have over our childhood that changes how we see ourselves. It changes how we see what's possible for ourselves and how we value ourselves. And that can be getting bullied at school. It can be by having a single parent who's never home and you're always alone. You know, kind of taking care of yourself, being a parent to yourself early. It can be a lot of different things. And I think a lot of people will look at that and just say, well, that's just you know, none of us got out of childhood unscathed, right? And they minimize that impact on their lives because we don't give it the definition of trauma, which is what it is. And so what I like to tell people is that big T trauma explodes and small T trauma erodes, but they can both move a mountain, right? And so what it does is it impacts how we make decisions as adults, the patterns that we create, how, you know, we make their decisions. And to think if you start a business that those things would not come with you into this thing that you're creating, it's kind of silly, but people are not looking for trauma in their business. They think that we kind of drop our baggage at the door when we start a business and it becomes all about strategies, marketing, and spreadsheets. But your marketing strategies and spreadsheets absolutely can be impacted about, you know, these experiences that you had and how you see yourself. And so my goal is to really, you know, educate people about, first of all, that small T trauma is cumulative and very impactful. And that your business, you bring all of who you are to your business, all of your talents, all your skills, all of your experiences, and they can move you forward and they can also move you backwards. And so knowing what they are is crucial. And there's where that inner kiddo comes in, right? Because most of those experiences that create those patterns for us happened when we were children. And let's say, you know, as if you're seven and you have this experience where, you know, someone betrayed your trust and you have a really difficult time trusting that people mean what they say moving forward. That 7-year old is on your inner board of directors in your business and is driving the bus sometimes. And so we really need to identify, you know, some of these experiences that we had, tap into that inner kiddo and kind of, you know, tap into them and say, oh, you know, when we get triggered, that's what that is. It's our inner kiddo saying, hey, something's not right. I know you're 48 and you have a business, but something ain't right, you know, and it's that 7-year-old saying, I need some attention here. And so what we've been taught is to just squash it, shut it up, you know, be careful, you know, just eliminate that voice inside our head. My answer is there is information for you here. So you need to stop, pause and say, I hear you. What do you need? And that 7-year-old will tell you.
I'm so glad that you clarified that. Cause that was going to be my next question. Cause it's not just, you know, I think some people may have the perception of like, oh, that's the, you know, that's my inner child having a tantrum. And I love that you said, well, there's information for your adult personality too from that inner child. So, and I would imagine that for your clients, like just having that knowledge of like, oh, I can actually listen, like I can listen and learn from this versus I have to repress what's coming up for me. That must be a huge relief.
Just that is. Yes, just that is, because I believe, this is my theory, that the inner critic is the protector of our inner kiddos. Mm. And so when that inner critic pops up and we shut it down, try and kill it, eviscerate it or whatever, we lose the opportunity to understand that there's some information here that we need. And so I always say, you know, you have this inner board of directors. I did this keynote that was inner kiddo to CEO. We talked about your inner board of directors are those kiddos. And we need to hear them out and we need to give them a job or dismiss them from the room. And a lot of times they want to be dismissed. They just didn't know they could be because of kids. Kids are black and white, right? They stick and stay. Or they might have a job that they could do within your business that would be really geared towards their creativity or their tenacity or their rebelliousness. But when we can tap into that, as opposed to feeling bad about having that feeling, judging ourselves for being triggered, you know, wanting to squash that voice and just, you know, repress, so much more self-awareness, self-compassion, skill building, you know, pattern disruption can happen. And it's a beautiful thing to see, because what happens then is that we're more compassionate with ourselves. We're more compassionate with other people because we can kind of see their inner kiddos too.
What a beautiful, simple sort of solution. As you were describing that, I was chuckling a little bit because I was like, well, this is what, you know, this is what teachers do with students, right? Like they either send the child to, you know, the office if it's really kind of inappropriate or just isn't fitting into what's going on, or they redirect them, and parents do this too. So I just love that it's like, hey, this is something that we actually do in reality, and you can do this with your own board of directors, yeah. so to speak. Yeah.
Yeah. I absolutely believe that you can heal through your business, because if you have ever started a business or a big project or written a book or, you know, anything like that, you know, it is going to bring up your stuff, mm-hmm. right? It is a high dive into personal development, whether you like it or not. So why not use it as a vehicle to get to know yourself better, you know, heal some things and integrate some of these processes so that you're a healthier, more self-compassionate person and have a business that, you know, thrives and doesn't feel punitive.
Absolutely. So what are some of the outcomes that your clients have achieved by exploring these deeper emotions and patterns around their businesses?
Yeah. So one of the first things that they integrate is the self-compassion, which is fantastic. The second thing that kind of comes from that is that they learn to live in the yes and, which helps their business. So you can have a really crappy quarter and still be growing your business. You know, like it's not mm-hmm. an either or. They get mm-hmm. out of the black and white. You can be, you know, really triggered and upset by someone and still see them as a human being and not want to eviscerate them, right? Not to dehumanize them. So it allows them to live in that yes and, instead of kind of that binary thinking of we either have to be successful or we're not, or we're, you know, a doormat or the like. It provides that integration. And then what happens is something that's very unique to each person, because you are developing a relationship with your business that outlines how you want to feel in it. And that looks different for everyone. So two examples are that I have a client who has, gosh, she's almost tripled her revenue at this point in 1 year. She completely changed her business model and has made more revenue in the past year than she ever has in her business. She has felt much more at ease in doing it and less anxious, less reactive. Her relationship with her money has changed. So she sees it as a partner and an ally, as opposed to something she either, it's either running from her or she needs to squash and kind of hold on to. So that's, you know, how her business has changed. Another client had several employees and was really struggling building out the business model that she thought worked for her. With all of this work, she determined that she really hates managing people. She just doesn't like it. And she tried it. You know, she's like, it just doesn't work for me. I can either pay someone else to do it, or, you know, I can circle my wagons and you know, kind of see, or, you know, I can pull back and just see, you know, what do I really want here, as opposed to trying to achieve just for achievement's sake? What do I really want? And so she let her employees go, and she's making about the same amount of revenue and is bringing more of it into her bank account. Has much more ease, is enjoying her work, and sees other opportunities for her without feeling this drive to grow, equating success with having a bunch of employees and, you know, just like this agency model. So for her, it looked very different. So for each person, the outcome looks different.
What would be some of the myths that either your clients or just entrepreneurs in general have about the connection between mindset and emotions and business? Because you very briefly mentioned strategy kind of off the cuff, and we have not talked about it ever since. And yet I just feel like a lot of the things that you're touching upon really can impact someone's business, but mm-hmm. their life overall and their happiness and peace around life and business.
Yeah.
So why would anybody hold back from, you know, trying to get that inner peace and get that sort of alignment?
Stigma, first of all, they don't recognize it as a trauma that needs to be attended to, because we as a society minimize those experiences. We minimize emotions. We minimize, you know, people who say, hey, this thing happened to me and it's still impacting me. You know, they'll just say, get over it or suck it up or, you know, you're weak or, you know, whatever that may be. So we don't make a lot of room for that for people. Mm-hmm. So there's that stigma piece, you know, there's that fear of, I don't want to dwell on the past. And so there's this booming mindset business, you know, where people just say, just, you know, shift your mindset, just do this, just do that. And the problem with that is that a lot of people who have experienced, you know, these traumatic events, you know, that they're not attending to because they don't see them as trauma. They just see them as, you know, this experience I had when I was a kid, I just need to suck it up. Mindset tricks don't work for people who have had some kind of trauma, because you have to be open to it and you have to trust the process. And if you've had trauma, trust is really hard to come by. So what I was seeing is a lot of people, you know, were attempting to do mindset work around trauma, and then they were feeling even worse about themselves because these just change your mindset tactics and tools weren't working for them. And so again, you know, mindset was being used as a weapon. Well, just change your mindset. What's wrong with you? You need to be positive. You need to have an abundant mindset. And it was just one more thing for them to feel bad about. So the help that they were looking for is kind of tricky. So it's just, you know, and again, I see people talking about burnout right now. There's some really big name people in business right now that are talking about their burnout, and I just want to scream to the rooftops. You don't have to burn out if you will give yourself the chance to say, yeah, perhaps some of the things that are not working out for me in my business, or if I'm feeling really beat up and battered by it or out of control, or I'm feeling triggered by this person, that person, that there are some things that you could look at here that are going to help you, as opposed to single you out. Because let's be honest, you know, people who are entrepreneurs, you know, childhood trauma creates a lot of entrepreneurs. It creates an amazing skill set and desire to be entrepreneurial. And so it doesn't surprise me when I see these highly entrepreneurial people hitting their wall and either burning down their business or burning out or doing something really dramatic, because they never really attended to their emotional well-being in their business, because we aren't taught to do that. No one is looking for childhood trauma in their business.
Are there any signs or symptoms that the listeners could sort of be on the lookout or be aware of to know that they might need to work with somebody like you, or they might need to address this in a different way than what they might expect?
Yeah. Well, I just, first of all, want to say me too, right? Because I was a therapist. I had been in therapy, and I, you know, the reason that this work has come to bubble up to the surface was because I had my own experience with this about 2 years into my business, where I recognized that I was using my business as a tool of self-abuse. You know, who knew that? And that I was recreating, you know, a really kind of gnarly relationship with my business in a way where my business was the tool for, you know, feeling bad about myself. So, you know, if a therapist who's been someone who's been a therapist and been in therapy and really understands trauma cannot see this coming, you know, it's okay. Just, right. You know, be kind to yourself, right? Because it's, we're not looking for it. And, as you said, like they say, new level, new devil, right? So each time we expand our business, each time we see beyond what we thought we could do, it brings up stuff, and it's supposed to. That's just kind of how it works. That's how we are as human beings. So I always ask people, you know, when they kind of look at me with blank eyes after I talk about this topic with a lot of people, it's a very shocking topic, I know. It can be very, disorienting. And so what I always say to them is, think about your business as if it was a person or an entity of some kind. And how do you feel about it? You know, when you think about your business, tell me, how do you feel about it if it was a person? And start to kind of like drill down on, where have you felt this way before in your life? You know, what kind of relationship in your life has felt this way before? And a lot of times people will say, oh my God, you know, my business is my father. I could do nothing right. He was so demanding. You know, if it wasn't more, it wasn't enough. And there was never a threshold of what more actually, you know, what enough was enough. And so a lot of times people, when you ask them what their business, who their business might be as a relationship, it gives them the opportunity to start look at some of those patterns. And they'll start to identify where their business is being a mean boss to them, where it's being demanding and demeaning, where it's kind of holding them back. And so that's kind of a good way to start to look at it is, okay, so who would my business be if it was a person, and what relationship might this feel like? You know, how do I feel here? The other way to kind of look at this is to ask yourself, you know, when I think about my business, and you look at a couple of different categories that I'm working on research on this about how trauma informs entrepreneurship. Think about your relationship with your money in your business. How does it feel? Does it feel empowering, disempowering? Think about your visibility, you know, in your business. Does it feel comfortable to go out and speak and share what you do, you know, with authority? Or does it feel, you know, really anxiety provoking, and does it feel almost dangerous to do that? So there's a few ways that you can start to look at this to tap into how your relationship with your business might be recreating some patterns that were created in your childhood that weren't all, you know, that are not as empowering as it could be.
What I find fascinating about your approach too is that there's no judgment. You know, it's kind of like, okay, so let's acknowledge that that these feelings are coming up, and instead of immediately deciding, oh, this is good, this is bad, it's more like, oh, well, what is this trying to tell me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no judgment. That's just what's so beautiful about this. I'm glad you picked up on that. This is a judgment-free zone. And this is not even a blame mommy and daddy zone. You know, right, I tell my clients, I'm like, this is not about blaming your parents. This is about extracting information to help you disrupt a pattern. Right. Because we are human beings. These are how these patterns get put in place. And, you know, when we can get clear about them without judgment, we can disrupt that pattern. So it's just information, and you can use it how you want.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I want to go just a little bit deeper into that, the blame game, and kind of what you were touching on before when we were talking about what would hold people back. I think one of the things that you had mentioned is that people don't want to revisit the past, and they don't want to necessarily get stuck there. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm hearing from you is that it's really not about getting stuck there. It's just about acknowledging and then applying that information on how to move forward.
Yeah, because it's already happening.
Right.
You know, our behaviors, our thoughts, our decisions are already being informed by that information. So whether you look at it or not, it's still happening. And so it is better to look at it in a non-judgment way, and in a way that you can use it as information to help you maybe heal something that needs to be there, set a boundary, see yourself differently, ask for what you need, and whatever that may be, because it's coming out sideways, whether you address it or not. You know, we see people every day, you know, where like, they're like, oh, they got something going on. And it's because it's coming out sideways, and we don't want that. We want you to direct it. We want you to partner with it. You know, even tap into the skill set, because, you know, I mentioned those entrepreneurs earlier that are highly entrepreneurial because their experiences. Oh my gosh, there's so much skill and gift in those experiences for them.
Right. So you touched on very briefly a little bit about your business and how things were going kind of a couple of years into it. But what is it that inspired you to, you know, get into therapy in the first place, but then also to shift and bring your business to where it is today?
Mm-hmm. So I was, you know, I always joke that therapists are therapists for a reason. So, because we're curious about people and why they do the things they do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I grew up in a household where, you know, there was emotional and physical abuse. And so I also had a learning disability in school, you know, which made me feel like the other all the time, made me feel like I was behind all the time. It really informed how I saw myself and my abilities. And so that learning disability, I would consider to, you know, under the category of a small T trauma that really cumulatively informed who and how I saw myself and took me off the path I might have, you know, originally been on, you know, because it changed things for me. So being someone who's curious about human behavior and already, you know, kind of being in my own struggles, I began to be that person that people tell their problems to, and always the one to read the first personal development book or whatever it was. And it really led me to want to understand, which is how and why I ended up going to school to be a therapist, and ended up getting a master's degree in social work so that I could have a clinical practice. And so about after 18 years of working as a therapist, because I had not learned the things I teach my clients now around boundaries and around knowing your story and why it informs what you do now, I burnt out. It was about, 18 years in, I was done. I was having physical issues. It just completely burnt out. And so I left the world of therapy and got a job behind a desk to kind of regroup. And I worked with a coach myself, a life coach, and saw how cool it was, the opportunity to work with people in a different capacity. And ended up getting certified to do money mindset coaching myself because I really wanted to explore what coaching could do. And I did that for about 2 years. And as I said earlier, I had this, you know, moment one day where I realized, you know, I don't enjoy my business. It feels mean. I don't feel like I can ever do anything right by it. And I recognized that I had created a pretty gnarly abusive relationship with my business. And so that really, like I said, has informed everything I do now, because I recognize that if I could create, because I'm a business of one, right? If I can create a business that is mean, abusive, dismissive, demeaning, I'm the only person here. I did this. So if I can do this, I can fix this. And why would I do this? Well, because of those childhood trauma patterns that were being recreated in my business, because I didn't know I needed to look for them there. I had already worked out that stuff, right? I'd already been in therapy, but I didn't know I needed to look for it in my business. And so it happened. And so from that point, I began to really see, hey, you know, my clients are not having mindset issues around money. They're having trauma responses. And that began to inform the work that I do now. And I've continued to work with clients on identifying childhood trauma and extricating it from their business, whatever that may be, you know. And it's informing the research that I've been doing on how trauma, childhood trauma impacts entrepreneurship. And it led me to want to train with Brené Brown, you know, because who's the forerunner out there who talked about, you know, shame and vulnerability when no one wanted to hear it and they tried to shut her down, you know? So I thought, wow, you know, so why not train with the master on how to have a topic that people don't want to talk about and they want to hide from, but is so important for them to address. And so that's why, you know, I went and got trained in her Daring Way and her Dare to Lead processes, because I felt like they came alongside what I was doing as well in my research in a real way that could help people in leadership positions, whether they had a business or not.
Yeah. And I can't wait to see the results of your research. I think it's going to be so transformative, but I'm sure that you've already started to see positive shifts, with your own business.
Oh, yeah.
And with that of your clients. So can you share some of those positive shifts that you've been experiencing so far?
Yeah. So I developed my Love Your Business process from, you know, kind of figuring out how I could have a relationship with my business that felt healthy. And I'm happy to say through a couple of different iterations, I have continued to feel supported by my business. I've continued to have, you know, good boundaries around it. It's continued to support me. I'm pretty open about this. And, you know, this past fall, I had a breast cancer diagnosis. And so, you know, you talk about facing stuff in your life and still running a business. And my business has supported me. My business has remained steady. I've continued to have clients. Like it is set up so that I can do that and still have a successful business that doesn't tax me and that didn't fence me into something that didn't work for me. So for me, when I look at it, I'm like, wow, this wasn't just something that I did for the average everyday work day for me. This worked for me in one of the hardest moments, you know, of my life and my business. I'm like, what do I do here? And so I really hold that up as an example of that when you know what you need, when you know when you get triggered and how that can take you off course, and you can plan for that and creating that emotional sustainability plan is what I call it for your business. It will hold you up, not just on a hard day where it's raining and you're late, like on a hard day when you find out that, you know, everything's about to change for you. So I give that as an example, and, you know, as well as, you know, my clients, that what they're able to do is they're able to really celebrate the gifts that they were received from these challenging experiences they had as children, and build them into their business in a way that's empowering as opposed to disempowering and kind of mindless, you know, because when we don't set an intention, we kind of default into old behaviors, right? Mm-hmm. So it puts them in the driver's seat. It gives them compassion in so many ways. They have created work environments for employees where they bring in the dare to lead processes because they really value the people that they have under them. They want to be courageous and vulnerable leaders, and they want to create an environment for people to work in that honors the entire person, not just the worker bee, who humanizes that employee and really cares about all the things that are going on for them, you know, paying them, paying their employees in a way that feels an integrity, addressing, you know, some of the bigger issues like, diversity, inclusion, and equity, you know, that becomes possible and important when you really have a deep relationship with your business that feels sustainable. Like all these things are so important, and they kind of grow out from this work because you're not white knuckling it in your little bubble, just trying to survive.
The words that are coming to me as you're describing this is it's really more of a responsive business model than a reactive mm-hmm. business model. And it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
Wow. It is. It totally is. And, you know, no one that I know is talking about this. You know, whenever I talk to people, they're like, we don't, and it's because we haven't allowed ourselves to be human in our businesses. We haven't allowed ourselves to be human in our workplaces. And I really want people to understand that we bring all of who we are into what we do, and that, you know, trauma is a piece of that, and it has challenges, but it also has gold that you can mine, you know, there for yourself and for the greater good. So if I can get people talking about how trauma informs entrepreneurship and how it creates obstacles for certain people, but also can create opportunity, it's just so important to me for that to be the conversation we're having.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely an essential conversation. I'm so glad that we got to start having the conversation. I definitely want to have you back when the research is finished, or even before that, because I feel like I could talk to you about this all day long. but before we wrap up, is there anything that listeners should know that we haven't yet covered?
So there's a couple of things. You know, if you have recognized yourself in here and you want to be a part of the research, they can reach out to me because my research is doing interviews based upon this topic. So, you know, that's something that I would love for people to be a part of. And if you've recognized yourself here, I just want you just to give yourself a big, deep breath and some love and compassion, and know that you are in great company, and that this does not have to be a deterrent. It does not have to be something else that you feel bad about. It is simply something to begin to explore in your humanness, and just, you know, be kind to yourself. Just be kind to yourself. And because, you know, we're in your corner, and it's going to be fine.
I love it. I love it. Nicole, how can folks find out more about you?
Yeah. So they can go to my website, which is nicole.lewis-kieber.com. I write a lot of articles about these topics, how trauma shows up tangibly in businesses, like around procrastination, you know, those type of things. So you can follow me on Medium if you want to read some of those articles. And of course, I'm on Facebook under Nicole Lewis Kieber Coaching.
Until next time, remember, be your best story and share your positive news now.
Thanks for listening to Business Innovators Radio. To hear all episodes featuring leading industry influencers and trendsetters, visit us online at businessinnovatorsradio.com today.